Let's pray together. Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you'll help us to understand how your power was strong in times ago and is still there and with us and strong for us today. Help us to be inspired by your word so that we can use it to make a difference in our lives. Amen. So that's an interesting story, isn't it? Look at all the different components there. You have Ahab wanting this vineyard. He wants to turn a vineyard into a vegetable garden. I'm not too sure about that, Simon. I don't know what you think about it. It's not necessarily the... Yeah, a bit of that, really. But it's a bit more convenient for him. But Naboth won't, because God has put this aside for a special purpose. And however much money is offered, whatever threats are made, Naboth is willing to stand up for God, even when things get tough. And then Jezebel takes over. She sees her husband feeling a bit sulky, feeling a bit down, and she sort of, you know, get up, you're the king, you better do something about it. And if you can't, I will. And she comes up with this plan to make up a story to get Naboth taken away, to get him executed, so that her husband can have this vineyard. What a story. But what can we see about God's power and the difference that can make? Well, let's have a look together. So we see how Jezebel was a powerful. She was a really powerful queen. And she showed her power when she wrote this letter to make sure that Naboth died. But she used her power in the wrong way. Jezebel kept her power because people were scared to disobey her. But we see, if you follow this story through into 2 Kings, you'll see that this actually catches up with her in the end. We see how Ahab showed his power. Ahab was a powerful king. He could have done what he wanted, and he kept his power because he was devious. But just as Elijah was to go on to predict how Ahab would die, that happens in the next chapter in 1 Kings 22. But what I really want to focus on today is God's power, looking at how God's power is shown in this story and how God's power then can come into our lives. So in this story, God shows power because he's able to say, this is going to happen. He shows power because what he says comes true. The prophecies that Elijah made came to happen. God is eternal, as are his promises. So let's have a think about what this power means to our lives. In Matthew 22, we read, Jesus replied, "You're in error because you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God." So we find power in God's word. We saw that in the story of Elijah. We see that in the life of Jesus. So a question for all of us: are we reading God's word? Are we meditating on it? Are we asking God to speak to us through his word? I'd like us to think for a moment how Jesus used scripture, used God's word, to answer some tough questions. Matthew 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And as I'm sure you know, twice more the devil tempts Jesus and is rebuffed when Jesus uses God's word. There's power in the word of God. And as Christians, that's something we can be accessing, we can be using in our own lives. We can be asking God to speak his word into our lives, to lead us, to guide us, to inspire us. There's power in the word of God. And there's power in the cross. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, Paul writes. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. Just think of the power that God showed in the cross, the power that leads to eternal life with him, the power that means that one day we can be in heaven with Jesus in the Father's presence. But more than that, the power of the cross, if you've been following either in person or online the Hebrews series we've been doing in the evenings, we've seen how it's the power of the cross the power of Jesus that means that we can enter into God's presence now. We don't have to go in through the temple, through the Holy of Holies, with just one or two high priests allowed to bring us into God's presence. Because of Jesus, we can enter into God's presence now. There is power in the cross. But we who are being saved, that's us. If we trust in Jesus, we know that the cross is the power of God. God's power is shown in the cross. So we have the power in the word, power in the cross. And we have the power that Jesus makes available to us today through the Holy Spirit. Remember how Joel wrote, "I will pour out my spirit to all people." God's power, my friends, is available for us today. Recently, we've had Pentecost, and we heard how those scared disciples, we heard how they were hiding in that room because they were worried that they were going to be taken and crucified. And we heard how they became these great, bold people proclaiming the word of God, how miracles happened, how thousands of people were saved, how they were willing to stand up in front of a crowd, even though that could mean, and for some of them did mean, their arrest, their death. They were not going to hide. They proclaimed Jesus. Just as Naboth in our story didn't hide. He said, "No, I'm not going to sell you that vineyard," even though he had a good idea what that meant. He stayed true to God. Those disciples did because they had the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So why don't we ask? Why don't we ask for that power in our lives today, just as those disciples had it in their lives a couple of thousand of years ago? God has the power, and through him, amazing things can and will happen if we trust and if we try. And I think that's the key. Perhaps if there's one thing I hope that we can all take away from this morning, it's that we need to try. We need to ask God for that power. Because if we don't try, things aren't going to happen. Jesus says with faith we can move mountains. Whatever the mountains are in our lives that we want to pray for, we need to say those prayers. We need to ask God for his power. Because just as Jesus stands at the door of our lives and knocks, we still have to open that door. Just as Jesus said, "How much more will God give the Spirit to those who ask?" We have to ask. We have to ask for God's power to come into our lives. Before I was in Crawley before coming here 3 years ago, and before that I worked in a church in Birmingham on a very large council estate on the edge of Birmingham, and it was a very poor church. It didn't have a lot of people didn't have work, lived on benefits, or had very low paid jobs. One of the congregation came to the church leaders at one point and said that they thought that God had spoken to them. God speaks to us sometimes through his word, maybe through thoughts, through occasionally through dreams, through other people, and thought that God was saying to him, "I want you to take a coach and transform it into this open space where you can drive it round and have it as like a place where you can go and tell people about Jesus." The idea where they would take a lot of the seats out and put some posters, put some literature in there, and simply drive it into towns and villages and start teaching and telling people in the village squares about Jesus, a bit like the early disciples did. But they didn't have any money, and they didn't know anyone with any money. And the church leadership felt that this was something that really God had laid on their hearts, and that the church should invest in this. The church should try and raise the money, which was, a lot of money. I think this is 25 years ago, it was about £35,000. And there's no way that this was more than the annual income of the church. But they felt God was saying, "Try, trust in me and try." So the church did. The leaders got the congregation praying and asking people to give. And we still don't know how, but in an amazing way, the money came in and the coach was bought. And it went off, and actually they felt God was telling them to go to Scandinavia of all places. And so they drove it into Denmark and Sweden and Norway and used it to great effect to spread the word of God into different parts of the world. They did it because they heard God and they were willing to try. They were willing to try something that seemed impossible, to move a mountain. to see that God's word could be spread. We have a powerful God. So are we going to invite him in? Are we going to ask God for his power to make a difference to our lives and to our church and to our community? We've been talking about this church having a vision statement of being a church in the community, for the community. But it's only through God's power that this can happen, that we can make a real difference, that we can bring Jesus into this community. So let's get on board. Let's try and let's use that power that God gives us to make a difference to our community, to our area, to our lives. Amen. Father, we thank you for this power that's shown in the whole story of Elijah, for how you use this great fire from heaven and how you use the still small voice, the whisper in the calm to speak to him. We pray that that same power will come into our lives and into our church to build your kingdom here. In Jesus' name, amen.